Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. Thank you all very, very much for your welcome this morning. It's really lovely. And to see old faces. Not in terms of, obviously. So I've been asked to speak this morning about street pastors, but also about early Christians, which actually they kind of dove into each other so well. So, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much. You need to go to X, Y, and Z. Is that what people say to us? Well, it is pretty much. But actually, those comments were given to the Crosby Wombles. Elderly people who keep streets clean and tidy in a Liverpool area. Street pastors are not arrogant enough to believe that we are the only people helping out in our community. Even though some folks are surprised when they find out that our work is voluntary and sometimes quite late at night. Just like the Crosby Wombles, there are many practical things we do to help people. We give out plasters, water, flip-flops to those who need them. Actually, the kids in the Saddleworth area are taught about street pastors at Upper Mill High School, so they know about the flip-flops. And we have had boys coming up to us asking us if they can have the flip-flops. We can give first aid. Sue Titmus did one night to a very elderly gentleman who'd been dancing in the Tory Club and had fallen over the fireplace. We can get blankets following an accident or some distress. We pick up, move bottles or broken glass. We try to help to reduce crime and antisocial behaviour by being a calm but really visible presence with our uniforms. Actually, the girl at the Granby, one of the bar staff, did say to us, "You are the front line." That's because we don't see the police very often. We help vulnerable individuals if they're intoxicated, distressed, or they've had the drink spiked, which of course is something new. One night, I wasn't on patrol. The three who were found a lady, a woman, don't know her age, in the car park who was really distressed. She'd had an argument with her partner in the car park and he'd just left. He'd abandoned her. It was pouring down, and in the car, which he'd just driven off in, was her money, her coat, everything. So the three on patrol took her somewhere to get her warm, gave her a hot drink, and just generally looked after her. We do work in partnership with local police, churches, councils, and any other agencies. Every church or denomination in Saddleworth is represented, either by street pastors, prayer pastors, or on the management team like John. Jill's a street pastor, John. And we're really proud that every church and denomination are part of us. Sometimes in the night, we have to choose to move on if someone is talking or demanding all our time. That did happen a few months ago. This young man really wanted to talk to me and tell me everything about him, what was going on. But we have to stay in a group of three at all times for everyone's safety. If there are only two of us, which happened a couple of weeks ago, we can stay out until it goes dark. In other words, when the street lights come on. But it is so much more than the practical element. Even though that is so important, we go out to keep people safe. We are all trained volunteers who are Christians from local churches, who patrol up a mill from 9 p.m. till whenever to care for, listen, help, particularly those who are vulnerable or have taken too much alcohol or increasingly nowadays too many drugs. We must be over 18. John Powell and I just squeezed in, can you imagine? We must be committed to a Christian church, have a reference from a minister, and be living a Christian lifestyle. I'm never quite sure what that means. Is it okay just to go to church on Sunday and then not think about it the rest of the week? We take extensive training, which takes months, and take a DBS test every 3 years, because we meet so many, not children, but vulnerable adults. We are all more than happy to talk about our churches and our faith, how much it means to us, how much value it gives to our lives. We can give advice to someone who would like to know more or give info on local churches. 2 weeks ago, when it was just Sue and myself, we walked up the street and there was a young man outside Albion Tap, that's it, that's what it's called. And he stood up when he saw us and said, "I'm a born-again Christian." So we chatted for quite some time and he talked about the cross where Jesus was and one of the sinners who repented, and Jesus said, "Today you will be with me." We did ask him which church he goes to, and he didn't go to a church. Sue said, "It'd be great if you did, to be part of a team, a fellowship. But we cannot preach at people." One man asked three of us on patrol that night, "Are you going to try to convert me?" And the reply was a resounding loud no. But we did chat for a while. You never know, do you? We engaged with people in an open and non-judgmental manner, whatever their age, race, colour, sexuality, or their current situation. We are there to get to know people in the community, to gain trust and to build relationships in order to find out their needs and offer support or guidance if it's accepted. We're on first name terms with all bar staff, door staff, landlords, who appreciate what they do, as I said, because they very rarely see the police. We have to gain credibility with the community so that they find out that the church has come to them, not the other way around. I was born in Greenfield in 1950 and I've gained so much from this Saddleworth community. The idea of street pastors did interest me, although I did think I might be much too old. It's a bit about giving back for me, and though I do believe that being a street pastor has given me so much more than I've ever given, I truly believe that back in 2019, God called me to do this work. Last Monday at St. Mary's, we had Bible study, and we were looking at the third week of the Lent course. Some of us had been, others hadn't. It was the Annunciation, where the angel gave Mary some pretty big news and was simply titled Calling. Now, I'm not sure I was called to be an ALM. It was ALM Authorised Lay Minister, sorry. I'm not sure that I was called to be an ALM. It was Alan from Denshaw who asked me one Monday after EFM, "Have you ever thought about being an ALM?" I said, "What's that?" I definitely found out pretty quickly. I do, however, believe I was called or chosen to be a street pastor with all the opportunities to talk about my faith. As I said before, I dismissed it at first, believing I was much too old for people to relate to, and my son and grandsons were totally against it, saying that I could be put in danger. When I started, I think in the March, just before COVID, there had been a fatal stabbing outside the Methodist Church in the just the December before. So they were really anxious about me going out. So because of them, really, I prayed about it for quite some time before saying yes to Sue Titmus, our fabulous coordinator. We all know that Mary was called. And at first she couldn't believe it. Me? Those first disciples were called, literally, by Jesus. How did they feel? Me? After his resurrection, Jesus gave his disciples two primary instructions: to stay in Jerusalem until they received the power of the Holy Spirit, and secondly, to then go into the world to spread his teaching and make disciples of all nations. Believe me, when it gets to 8 p.m. on a Saturday and it's snowing, windy, or raining heavily, which it usually is in Upper Mill, you do have to ask God to motivate you to put your uniform on, leave your nice warm lounge and drive into Upper Mill. But the rewards are huge. From the significant conversations we have, to the help we can give to an injured person, to the thanks and affirmation we always receive. Plus, there's always something or someone who makes us laugh. There were two lads one night. I know I was out with Sue Titmus and can't remember. But they were standing in the middle of High Street, kind of between Court Street and the park, and they had their hands in the air. "We are invincible. We can move mountains." Obviously, they were on, I don't know whether it's cocaine or ketamine. Half an hour later, they were in the back of a police car. So maybe not quite so invincible. And the prayer. Wow. We pray before we set off. And again, when we are back in base, there's always a prayer pastor on the rota who spends their evening at home praying for everyone in the village. The street pastors, people who are working, and people who are having a good night. Sometimes we do stop and pray in the middle of a patrol if we feel we need extra help from God. Joanne, Pauline and I did that on a night which seemed very unsettling to us. So how much prayer is going up from the village of Upper Mill every Saturday night? I found this quote from F.B. Mayer a few days ago. The greatest tragedy of life is not an unanswered prayer, but an unoffered prayer. And that has really, really stayed with me. Those instructions Jesus gave to his disciples and were taken up by the early Christians, they are known as the Great Commission. I didn't know that. And can be found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." We go out to meet people. Sorry, I'm just going to get dratted hay fever. We go out to meet people just like Jesus did. He intentionally engaged with crowds and individuals in their own environment rather than waiting for them to come to him. He actively sought out marginalized individuals, sinners, social outcasts, and everyday people, often breaking cultural norms to connect with them, like the Samaritan woman at the well or the feared tax collector. He went to places others avoided. We know that the disciples weren't comfortable being with him in that Samaritan village. He met people in their places of work, like the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee, or their homes, like Zacchaeus, and in public places, like town squares and synagogues. If he was out on patrol with us in Upper Mill, and I do believe he walks with us when we're out, he would be popping into bars, pubs and clubs to chat to people just like we do. A major part of his ministry involved him eating with sinners or people seen as sinners, which allowed him to build relationships with people on the fringe of society. We make sure we buy a cuppa or a hot chocolate or a black Americano when we're out and chat to the folks there, to the staff as well. They either recognise us for our work or they ask us who we are and what we do. Either way, we start chatting. Jesus was available. He was accessible. He didn't look down on anyone he met, because to him and his Father God, we are all valuable. To him, everyone mattered. He was a friend even to messed up people who had lost their way in life. He worked hard to bring down cultural barriers and prejudices, which meant bringing his followers into places which really weren't comfortable for them. Nobody can be a street pastor with prejudices. Everyone we meet is equal in God's eyes, so they are equal in ours. Most often the people who need Christ in their life, who need Christ in their life the most, aren't going to be showing up in our churches on Sunday, which is why Jesus sends us to them and why he sent his disciples, the early Christians, out. Young people especially are really happy to talk about their lives and their beliefs with us. So how must those disciples have felt, told to go out into the world and preach the gospel? Well, immediately after the resurrection, we know they were hiding away in locked rooms, maybe fearful of the religious and Roman authorities, and in shock that their Lord had gone. So, fear and confusion. We bolted every door, but even so, we couldn't catch our breath for very fear. Fear of their knocking at the gate below. Fear that they'd find and kill us even here. Though Mary's tale had quickened all our hearts, each fleeting hope just deepens your despair. The panic grips again. The gasping starts. The drowning and the coming up for air. Then suddenly, a different atmosphere, a clarity of light, a strange release, and, all unlooked for, Christ himself was there, love in his eyes and on his lips, our peace. So now we breathe again, sent forth, forgiven, to bring this breathless earth a breath of heaven. Actually, that sonnet reminds me of Richard's guided imagery sermons, because you can really feel in that sonnet what you're hearing. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, they started to see that daunting task not as a burden, but as a huge privilege, willingly facing persecution and hardship to spread their faith. Remember, before Jesus died, he did start to prepare his followers, sending them out in twos to go through the villages to spread the good news. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13 tells us, he began to send them out two by two. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place. And so they went out. Accounts in the New Testament, Acts and letters of the apostles describe them as being filled with joy unspeakable. They were so transformed by their personal experiences with Jesus that they felt this overwhelming sense of gratitude, urgency, joy, and compassion for the spiritual needs of others. I remember that joy. I still have it. But that first joy, when I became a Christian when I was 18, in a young Christian's holiday camp in Germany, I could not wait to come home and share it. And I have to say that being a street pastor is a perfect opportunity to talk about and share that joy. And here is another sonnet. I love this book. Sounding the Seasons, 110 Sonnets for the Christian Year. Peace be with you, peace and peace again. He gives and gives and gives that lost shalom, until at last we know it to the bone. And here, as prodigals, good news from home. He gives not only peace, but purpose too. Ascending from the one who has been sent, As God sent me, so I am sending you. With all my Father's love and power, you're sent. You're sent with good news to a weary world, with love that leads the vilest to repent. God's full forgiveness is released through you. You have shalom to share. So do not hold it to yourselves, but share it lavishly, that all who choose may find new life in me. We can only read, be amazed and wonder at those early Christians. So I try to see street pastors in just a tiny fraction of them. We do share some things. We prioritise taking our faith directly into public places. We try to offer compassion and hospitality to people who are vulnerable in some way. And we also try to demonstrate God's unconditional love through very, very practical work, rather than preaching to people in places they might feel they could never go into, and that could be for various reasons. I often struggle with finding a Bible verse at a given time, something I feel like somehow I just ought to be able to do, and something I admire others for being able to do. But something we were talking about in the first Lent session of this year reminded me of something that I had seen on a Facebook page. The page is called Mindful Christianity. It's not how much scripture you know, it's how much scripture you live. And that gave me a great comfort. If you remember a gospel reading a few months ago, where Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman at the well in her village. When she had finished listening to him, she immediately went out to tell all the villagers about him, about her certainty that he was her saviour. Obviously, I'm not saying this happens when we are out on patrol, although who knows? Mighty oaks from little acorns grow. But it is a joy, a blessing, and a privilege to be out there talking about our faith. I love what I do, and I'm out with wonderful people. So how lucky am I? And following our Lord's example, our motto is listening, caring, helping. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the bold, unshakable faith of the early church. Just as your Spirit empowered them to share the gospel, we ask that you give us the same courage. Help us to carry your light into our homes, our workplaces, our streets, and our communities. May our lives be a testament to your love. In Jesus' name, amen.